Amen. All right. Well, let's stand together and let's sing this one song. That's what this song talks about. Maybe we can have that on our hearts this morning as we sing to the Lord.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life, and all my life you have been I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. His word is sweet. Love your voice. You have led me through the fire and darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Let's sing that one more time. All my life,
and all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
I will sing one more time.
I will sing of the goodness of God.
Your goodness is running.
Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. Goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness.
We're going to stand one more time, and I've got a challenge for you for this year. How about instead of I will sing, how about I will share? How about I will live? Think about that this morning. We're going to sing it.
And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am I will sing of the goodness of God.
Amen. You may be seated this morning for our message.
You know, this church is not for everybody, but I'm glad it's for you and that you've chosen to
to be here today and to be a part of this fellowship. You know, there's places you could go where there's better facilities. There's places you could go with better preacher, better music, better Sunday school. There's places you could go with bigger crowd and more activities. But I don't think you'll ever go anywhere that is as genuine as this church is. We try to be real and try to stay focused on what matters. We may not always live up to those expectations, but we don't pretend to be something that we're not. And we try to stay true as best as God enables us to His Word. And we try to put Him first. And once again, we're not perfect. We fall short. We're human beings for sure. But it's just such a privilege to be a pastor of such a wonderful, diverse group of people with so many different talents and abilities and problems. I mean, problems. This past week, just one day, I told Dan, I said, "Hey, you got to help me. We need to make," and I made all the names of contacts of people that we need to check up on. And I didn't even hit everybody. Found out later a couple more that I didn't know of. And but that's life, isn't it? Life is short and full of problems. But man, it's better along the way when you're walking side by side with other people, especially other people who love you and who understand and will pray for you and hold you up before the Lord and encourage you. And that's what, like Kyle said, that's really what church is about. We're here for each other, and we're here to edify, to encourage, to admonish if need be. But we're going to make it through this journey. And I was sitting here reflecting and thinking how that when you're talking about people going through different problems and so forth and staying faithful and just how critical that is. Somewhere in my ministry, God kind of gave me that theme to share with people. And it's a sobering thought, but I have shared this with more than one individual. And I guess a pastor can get away with this, or at least I have so far. But I've told more than one of my elderly members, finish strong. Finish strong. People are watching you. People are looking for courage. They're looking for strength because they're going to be where you are one day. And they're going to reflect back on your example of how you finished. And that's going to give them strength. So finish strong. And man, I tell you what, we have had some wonderful church members in heaven that finish strong. And that's going to be a great source of power in my life when I get to that stage where I need that strength. I will be able to remember them and what they went through and know that I can do it too. That is really the title of our sermon this morning. We're going to take a closer look at Philippians chapter 4. Verses 12 and 13. I could call it How to Finish Strong. That would be a good title. I didn't really give it a title. I just called it A Closer Look. A closer look at Philippians 4, 12 and 13. I like to say that Philippians 4, 13 is a bumper sticker verse because it may be the most used verse on bumper stickers that there is. It's just such a popular verse with so many people. But I want to take a closer look at it and try to see some of the things in this book of Philippians that Paul contrasts, several real-life contrasts that he makes in this wonderful book. He contrasts weakness versus strength, dependence versus freedom, humility versus our aspirations, and suffering versus contentment. We know that in ourselves that we're weak, but in Christ that we can overcome everything. We know that that we can do things because God supplies us with the ability to get it done. We need Him to get things done. We know that we can be abounding, or we know that we can be brought low. We know that we can suffer, but we know also that through it we can also be content. So I want us to look a little closer at these two verses. Look at verse 12. It says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Dan and I are listening through the Bible together this year as we travel back and forth to work each day. And we chose the chronological reading plan this year. And so we're a little bit ahead of pace because we got in the book of Job, and it's like, you know, you can't stop. Once you start in the book of Job, you want to get to the next part. It's just so good. And we almost plotted, you know, at the end. It's just such a wonderful story of drama and God's mighty power, His omniscience, His ways being so much higher than our ways. Truly, the book of Job is one of those things that just makes you scratch your head and say, wow, I don't think I know God as near as well as I thought I did. Because things happen in the book of Job, there's no explanation for. I can't hardly put it to a sermon. It's like, how do I explain why God put Job through what he did? I can't. All I can say is he's God and I'm not. And it's exactly what he said to Job and all the rest of them. Where were you when I created? You know, I'm God, you're not. You don't have a right to question my ways. We do, though. We try to, but we don't. And this verse, which talks about being low and abounding and suffering and strength, reminds me of that epic story of the book of Job. We're going to look a little deeper at these two verses and understand, as is mentioned here, we are told everywhere and in all things we've been instructed, you know, how that we can be full and be hungry, how we can be abounding and yet suffer need. It's not isolated here in Philippians 4 or in the book of Job. It's scattered all throughout the pages of Scripture that is our story. There are high times and low times. There are good times and bad times. We shared this morning because it's the right thing to do. It's an edifying thing to do to share about the good things that happen in life. How horrible would it be for Brother Kyle to say, all right, somebody shared for me something horrible happened to you this past year. Nobody comes to church hear that, right? Matter of fact, we shouldn't do that because that is not edifying. We should edify each other. We should give reason to lift each other up. Now, we're not pulling wool over anybody's eyes and saying that everything's hunky-dory. Sometimes life is tough. I mean, you hear that prayer list this morning? I mean, these are serious issues in many people's lives. But in the same breath that we can be overcome with sorrow and grief, we can still say, you're a good God, and can thank Him no matter what the situation is. Many places that we're taught these things. Jesus taught us that He's the vine and we're the branches, and unless we're in Him, we can't do anything. But in Him, we can do a lot. We can produce fruit. One of my favorite passages, one of my favorite verses, is 2 Corinthians 12:9. It says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so I'm weak in so many ways, but with God's help, I'm able to accomplish, I'm able to do. There are other places that are similar type of verses. Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. A couple great ones in Isaiah 40:29, it says, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Then Isaiah 41:10, it says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. So many times in the midst of trouble and trials and difficulties, we're reminded that God's there. And He's there for us. And we do want to be fruitful. We want to allow these verses to inspire us to be better Christians, to live more successfully. So let's look at verse 12 first, and let's notice a couple things about it before we move on to the bumper sticker in verse 13. So verse 12, he says, I know both how to be abased and how to abound. It's telling where he says, "I know." In other words, I've experienced that. I've gone through that. I'll share with you later a passage where Paul shares some of those things that he went through. But I think most of us here can testify that we too know how to be brought low. We've been there. We've been in abundance. I totally agree with what others have said. When I look at my life and compare it to others, I almost want to look over my shoulder. It's like, when is it my turn? You know, because God has just been abundantly good to us. My children are blessed with one has a spouse, a wonderful Christian man, good paying job, both of them. My middle child got a good job this year, doing well. The baby's still going to school. I don't know what he's going to do with himself, but he's a good kid. Yeah, he's a good kid. And God's got great things in store for him, too. I mean, I'm living a charmed life, some would say. No, I'm living a blessed life, and I don't deserve it. But I can look at this verse and understand that I know how to be abased. My life hasn't always been that way. My dad died when I was 10. My mother was mentally insane throughout my life. She was in the neurological center in Beaumont various times throughout my childhood. That's how I was brought up. When my uncle and my aunt and uncle took me in, the house we were living in did not have electricity, and we were living out of an ice chest. Mom had gotten some ice, and I remember there being a pack of weenies in there and maybe some mayonnaise or something is what we had whenever my uncle came to get us. I've been abased, but I've also abounded. Through it all, I've seen God's hand at work. He sent me and had me stay with a wonderful Baptist preacher and a wonderful preacher's wife, my Aunt Shirley. She's redheaded and all business, man. And she whipped me into shape in a hurry. My life found some structure that I needed in a fast way, moving in with that godly couple and that godly family. They had a house full of kids of their own. Most of them were grown. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. I've been in want. I can't say I was hungry. We probably weren't far from it. God intervened before we got to that point. The point I'm trying to make is that, you know, life is not always a march from one victory party to the next. There are some victory parties along the way. Thank God for it. We celebrate them. We have, you know, weddings and graduation parties and chili cook-offs, you know, just to do it and that sort of thing. Those are times that you need to embrace and enjoy them while they last. They won't always be available. If you don't know how to lose, you won't know how to win. You just won't. And so I've learned that you can lose and it not destroy you. You can be defeated and not be defeated. You can grow from adversity, and God uses adversity to grow us. Job is the exhibit A. How can you take a man that was righteous in all his ways and make him better? Do what God did to Job. That's how you make him better. I don't want to sign up for that, but that's what he did. Paul said, I know how to lose. I know how to be in want, how to be in pain, even to be in a desire of food. And so, but he said, I've learned in every situation. In this passage, it tells us here in the verses before and after it that we can be content in everything. He says we can be content. And the way to be content, the secret to it is to trust God no matter what. I do believe that Job was a sinner, and I think he sinned in the book of Job. I think he was sinful in his way that he questioned God. He did not know the answers, but he crossed the line. And the reason why I know he crossed the line is because how God answered him. And Job quickly even said, I repent of that. I should not have been so questioning of your majesty and of your goodness. Certainly a righteous man, but question God's dealing with him. I want you to understand that you don't just have to accept everything that comes your way, that's just the way that God wants it, because that's way maybe what you would think if you took what I was saying to the extreme. There was nothing that Job had done to warrant what happened to him, but God chose to allow Satan to do what he did. It was almost like it's a competition between God and Satan in Job's life. I wouldn't want to be a part of an experiment between God and Satan. But I want you to know that not everything that happens in your life is like what happened with Job. We can't attribute every judgment and every horrible thing to the fact, oh, wow, I must be going through what Job did. No, you could be going through chastisement. You could be underneath the correcting hand of God. He wasn't trying to correct Job, but he may be trying to correct you. If you're experiencing difficulty and you just feel like that God is after you, God may be after you. He may be trying to get your attention. And so it's very important that you listen to your heart and see if the Spirit of God is trying to show you something. You should listen. You should be prayerful in your situation and ask for God to reveal to you whether or not this is His chastisement. Pray that He might show you if there is something amiss in your life. And God will. If that's the purpose of what you're going through is for God to instruct you, then if you humble yourself, God will show you. I've seen that in my own life. Usually I don't have to pray about it. I know immediately because I'm in tune with my spirituality. I'm not that I'm a super spiritual person. I should be. I'm a pastor. But the point being that I understand when I've crossed the line. When I say a wrong word, a mean word, a cross word, I can be pretty snippy sometimes. None of my family, well, I don't treat Chandler that way, but they would probably, he would know already. I'm not perfect. And when I do something I shouldn't, I know immediately. And if I take that to the extreme and let my life get out of kilter and start living in a sinful way, God tries to get my attention. It doesn't need to be something that's hidden from me. It needs to be something that's clear to me that I need to get it right. This is God's pressure on me to get my heart right. God wants for you to be perfect. He wants for you to be complete and to lack nothing. He wants for you to be a good witness. He wants for you to live right so that others might see Him through you. And so Paul says, hey, I have learned how to be brought low. He wasn't perfect before. He was a Christian for sure and wasn't perfect after. He's a pretty good fellow, though. He's a great apostle. But even then, he was humbled. He suffered as a faithful apostle, and he learned to accept it. I told you I would share that with you. Look in, if you want to look, you can, or just listen. In 2 Corinthians 11, verses 23 and following, is a list of Paul's sufferings. He says, in labors more abundant, and stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, and deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. So if you're counting, 9 times he was physically abused for being a preacher of the gospel. I don't know how many times it would take for some people to decide a different line of business. He was beaten up 9 different times, but he stayed true. Thrice, he says, I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, and journeys often in perils of waters, and perils of robbers, and perils my own, by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and watchings often, and hunger and thirst, and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And we're talking about what many would consider to be the greatest New Testament Christian. And this was his experience. And I worry over the littlest thing about me. Why is this happening to me? Oh my. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. So he says, I have learned to be abased. I have learned to suffer And the amazing thing he says is, I've also learned in the midst of every one of these things that I've listed, how to be content. How to do it. How can you do it? That's the bumper sticker, verse 13. This is how you learn to be content amidst your hardships, amidst your difficulties. It starts off with this verse. It says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Starts off with I. I. Living out your faith is about you. I can do. You need to have that sort of a mentality. You need to be proactive. You can do it. Look for opportunities to act. Be usable. Have yourself in a position to be used by God. Keep your life in working order so that God can use you. Stay profitable to God by clean living, by righteous living. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways. You know, we need to keep God's word. We need to keep his commandments. Live right. Be usable. Be responsible for your service to God. I want you to notice this is not a we verse. It's not an everyone verse. It's a you verse. I. And then can do. That is my mama's favorite words. Can do. She wanted me to have a can do attitude. I can do. Be confident. Be confident in your ability. The ones that God has blessed you with. That you can use the gifts that God has given you to accomplish whatever it is He's laid before you. I can do. My very favorite word in the Bible is along these lines. And it's the word hupernikomen. And it means we are more than conquerors. I can do. I am more than a conqueror. The Bible says that the gates of hell should not prevail against us, against God's church. He says that when we're faithful, that nothing returns to Him void, that His word goes forth and it meets the need. It says that nothing can pluck us out of His hands. I can do. I'm His. Be willing. Be willing to serve. Can do implies power. That's what it does. Literally, you have sufficient strength for whatever it is that's going on. In this scripture, you have power that means might, or you have also power that means ability. In this case, that's what this means. It's a passive power. You have the ability to act. You just need to act. We've been given great power, which means also we have great responsibility. We have great potential. Matthew 28, what we call the Great Commission. Jesus begins that Great Commission with the strong words where He said, all power is given unto me. And then He said, you go. So God's the one who has the power. He shares that power with us. He tells us what to do, where to go, who to speak to, who to bless, who to bring low. We are equipped and enabled by the power of Christ. I saw once a list of doubts and the scripture responses. I like these kind of things. A lot of it is just taking verses here and there, but the meaning of those verses are true. Sometimes our thinking is that things are impossible, but we're reminded that God tells us here that we can do things, all things. Luke 18:27 teaches us that all things are possible with God. Sometimes we may think that we're too tired, but Jesus promises us that He'll give us rest. Sometimes you might think that nobody really loves me, but God says in John 3:16 that He does. He loves you very much. Some people have the attitude that they just can't go on, and we're reminded in 2 Corinthians, as I quoted earlier, that His grace is sufficient. Yes, you can go on. Maybe we think that we just can't figure it out, but God promises that He will direct our steps in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You might say, I can't do it, but this verse today says you can do it. Others will say, I'm not able, but 2 Corinthians 9, 8 says that I am able. Others might say it's not worth it. Romans 8, 28 tells us it will be worth it. All things work together for the good, those who are called according to His purpose. And he would say, I can't forgive myself. But Jesus and God says, I forgive you. I can't manage. I'll supply all your need. I'm afraid. I've not given you a spirit of fear. I'm always worried and frustrated. Cast all your cares upon me. I don't have enough faith. Lord, increase our faith. I've given everyone a measure of faith. I'm not smart enough. I'll give you wisdom. I feel all alone. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I can do. That's a huge statement. Believe it. Live it. All things. Now, friends, this shouldn't be taken literal. I mean, this is not a license to go, you know, jump off of a building somewhere and survive the fall. That's idiocy. This is in context of God's call upon your life. Whatever it is that God has called you to do, you can do. It is possible. Anything and everything that God desires of you, He has given you the ability to do. Whatever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all of your might. God will give you the strength to do it. Some people would say, you just don't know what I'm going through. I might not, but God does. Many people, I would say, also have gone through similar things. That's why I say finish strong. People look towards you. And then I could always say that Christ endured it so that you would be able to endure. He said, all power is mine. You go and do. You can. I've given you the power to do so. I can do all things. We have all things in our life. I like that word thing. You have a thing in your life? I have some things in my life. I can do all things. I don't know what your thing is, we might would say. And I don't sometimes know what my thing is. Sometimes I do know what my thing is, and my thing needs to change. I need to make my thing better. I need to quit all of those things. But I can do all things. What's your thing? What is it that tripped you up? What it is that's keeping you from being successful? That's your thing. But He says, I can do all things. You can overcome anything. You know your thing. Your thing's not my thing. My thing's not yours. But whatever your thing is, God's got that thing under control. I can do all things, He says, through Christ who strengthens me. I wish I had a black preacher up right here right now. He could really take this verse and go with it, couldn't he? I'm just doing the best I can. I can do all things. Doesn't matter what the thing is. And we all do have things, don't we? That thing is not too big for the Lord. Nothing is too big for the Lord. Your thing is a little thing to God. He has given you power to overcome that thing in your life. Whatever it may be, a relationship. Maybe money or a job. Maybe a family member, a sibling, a child, a parent. Sometimes we have things that separate us and keep us from living that best life that God has for us. That thing is in the way. And I'm not saying get that thing out of the way. Sometimes those things have to stay in the way. They need to be there. God put them there. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. It's a thing. It's a good thing. It's a blessed thing. Do you see it as a blessing? If you don't, you're not looking the right way. You're looking from the wrong angle. God has blessed us with a lot of things. Make your things be a blessing. Learn to be content. No one's perfect. Neither are you. I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ, it says. That's the key, isn't it? It's not about me. I don't have to man up. I don't have to get pumped up in order to be successful. It's through Jesus Christ that I can do these things. In my flesh, I'm weak. In my person, I will never accomplish much. But through Him, my faith can move mountains, the Bible says. It can move mountains. If your thing is giving you problems, you're not going through Christ. You might have to wait on the Lord. He might want that thing to stay there for a while. Paul, he went through all that stuff that he did, but that wasn't enough for him. God had to add an extra little thing to him. Put a little thorn in his flesh, the Scripture says. Paul was beat up and all this other stuff, but that thorn in the flesh, that bothered him like the princess of the pea. He couldn't sleep on that bed. 9 mattresses thick, but could feel the little pea underneath it, the fairy tale says. He went through all the mess that he did, but whatever this thorn in the flesh was, he said, Lord, I don't want this one. Take it from me. God said, no, I want it to stay there. Prayed again and said, God, take it from me. And God said, no, I want it to stay there. And after the third time God told him no, Paul finally realized God wanted it to be there. And I guess quit praying that God would remove it. Said thrice, three times he said, I prayed that God would remove that thorn in the flesh. There's been books written about what was that thorn in the flesh. He didn't want us to know because you have one too. He doesn't want his thorn to be your thorn because his thing is not your thing. But you have things. You may even have thorns. But you can do all things through Christ. It's got to be through him. Are you leaning on Christ in your thing? I know you have things. Sometimes you tell me your things. I'm not going to tell other people your things. That would be bad for me to do that. But I'm here to tell you that you can get through your thing with Christ. That's what he's here for. He's here to be your strength in whatever it is that you're going through. Why does he need you to go through it? Because he needs for you to be a good witness. He wants for your life to make a difference in somebody else's life. And if you're defeated by your thing, then you're an ineffective witness. You've got to get past your thing. You've got to grow in your faith and trust in God. Friends, if you don't believe that Jesus can make it better, I can't do much to help you. I would ask you in your thing, how sincere have you been in seeking Jesus' help? I'm going to tell you a little secret. It is hard to be upset with somebody that you're praying for. It is hard to be off and not be in communion and be angry and upset towards somebody that you are praying for. I don't know about your thing, but are you going through Christ? If you go through him, it's possible. All things are. You do it in your flesh, you're looking for help from outside or from a friend or whoever, you're not going to get it. You might get a sympathy, a pat on the back. You know, I can't believe that you're able to go through what you're going through, but you're not going to get help from anything that is of the flesh. But that which is of Christ, that which is from God, that's where strength comes. That's where transformation and reconciliation comes from when God steps on the scene. Now, some people are wise. They can get two parties together and help them work through their issues and sign an agreement and everything is going to be good. Maybe it'll stay true. I don't know. Or maybe the first chance they get, they'll stab them in the back or do what they said that they wouldn't do. When God fixes something, he fixes it. When God restores a relationship, he restores it. If you got a thing, have you been going through Christ for your thing to be better? If you haven't been, then you're off the mark. Your thing's not going to get better. If you want it to get better, if you truly want it to get better, Christ can make it better. Because we can do all things through Christ. He obviously is the key to all of this puzzle here, Jesus says. We need to remember that life is not about us. It is truly about him. Joy doesn't come from self-fulfillment, but in service to God. You've been made to worship. You've made to love him, to serve him in your things. And then it says, who strengthens me? God likes to show off. He wants to be able to have you be able to say to somebody else, you would not imagine, you cannot imagine how bad it was in my thing. It was horrible. I was ready to quit. I had quit. I had given up. I had already stopped. But then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, God stepped on the scene. And like a brick of, you know, like a load of bricks, just boom, he hit me with the reality of the situation and changed my thing. And I'm better for it. And I'm here to testify of God's power to change lives. That's what God really wants. He wants to take that thing of yours and make it beautiful. He wants to take your messed up situation and show off in your life so that you can tell other people about how good that he is. And don't just mess up and get all the mess so God can fix you up so you can brag about it. That's silliness. That's frustrating the grace of God. That's what the Romans were trying to do. That Paul said, God forbid, you know, don't sin that grace may abound. But if there's problems in your life, God wants to fix it. And he will fix it.
but only He can do that. He's the one that will give you the strength. He is the one that will win the day if you'll trust Him. You have power. The word here is the word we get for dynamite. You have power. It's not your strength, it's His. How does He strengthen us? How does Christ strengthen us? Not by miracle or magic, but it says through the power of His word. That's where we get our strength from. The scripture says that we have been grafted with the word of God. We've been grafted to His word. I love that beautiful thought that we are grafted like a rootstock to the word of God. The child of God has been grafted to the Bible. This is the source of my power, of my strength. This is where my growth comes from. This is where you find the answers in the word of God. Where are they at? Just open it up. You'll find them. You can find it in this passage today. Probably answer to about just anything that you want have an answer to. Or anywhere else for that matter. Because the Spirit of God is who guides us to all truth, who leads us to answers that we need. You can look them up too. You can say, what's a great passage to understand how to suffer? What's a great passage to learn how to reconcile a relationship? To learn how to go through sickness? Or how to, you know, deal with whatever. There are probably some people out there that have been through it and they've got some great verses they can share with you. Nothing wrong with that. Having a little helping hand when it comes to studying the Bible. He strengthens us by instructing us and showing us that in your weakness, you can be made strong through Him. He shows us that He supplies all of our needs. That's how much He loves us. He works His faith in us and He grows us. He strengthens us so that we can fulfill the duty He has called us to do, to resist temptation, to live successfully, to suffer, yes, and even to have to endure. You can do it through Him. That's the key to contentment, is knowing that He's a ready help at all time and that it's through Him. Trust in Christ in your thing. Oh, that's the title of that sermon. Let's stand together as we sing a verse of invitation.